WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump and Apple CEO Tim Cook announced a plan for the big tech company to invest an additional $100 billion in the U.S., taking its total investment to $600 billion. CBS's Linda Kenyon has more.
The president says this is a massive investment.
This is the largest investment Apple has ever made.
Trump said it's all part of bringing American manufacturing back home.
We're doing everything possible to make this the best place on earth to build a factory or grow businesses.
And that includes slapping 100% tariffs on chips and semiconductors not made in America.
If you're building in the United States or have committed to build, without question, committed to build in the United States, there will be no charge.
Further driving chip makers back to the U.S. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Wall Street ended higher, with the Nasdaq up more than 1%, led by Apple. President Trump says he's working to help Russia and Ukraine reach an end to the war. He calls his U.S. envoys meeting with Vladimir Putin in Moscow today highly productive. And the president said he could personally get involved. CBS's Weijia Zhang with that.
Now, we don't know for certain that he said, I plan to meet with Putin and Zelensky, or put a time frame on that. But he says he is open to meeting with both of those leaders because he wants to broker an end to the conflict.
President Trump pumps up tariffs on India. CBS's Kelly O'Grady explains.
The president just signed an executive order saying that there will be an additional 25% tariff. So that would bring the total tariff rate up to 50% on India because they are buying Russian oil.
China also buys oil from Russia, but it was not included in the executive order. Five soldiers are shot at a U.S. Army base. They're expected to recover. Officials say the suspect is a fellow sergeant who was tackled by others at the shooting scene and held until police arrived. CBS's Skylar Henry is at Fort Stewart in Georgia.
He is 28 years old, from Jacksonville, Florida. As yet to see combat, officials are still trying to get to the bottom of exactly why he decided to do what he did. They say that there are no records or incidents of note as it relates to disciplinary actions.
A new study suggests the death toll from wildfires that ravaged the Los Angeles area earlier this year is far higher than the official toll, which was 31. Study author Andrew Stokes of Boston University says there could be 440 more deaths attributed to the fires.
These deaths are not only attributable to the direct effects of the wildfires, but also people living with lung or heart conditions whose disease was exacerbated by smoke or stress, as well as indirect deaths such as from disruptions to health systems and mental health impacts.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warners told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, maybe a storm late, and lows in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, few showers and storms, heating up, highs up into the mid-80s. Hot and humid Friday, mostly sunny, highs within a few degrees of 90. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, as summer winds down, we're still enjoying the outdoors. We'll be joined by Casey Hicks of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters next time to talk about how we preserve Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we are blessed to have Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler on again, and really good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Native Roots Radio.
Thanks. It feels like we're maybe getting back into a little bit of a routine to have like ongoing conversations. And so it's good to be back.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I know things are tough all around here, and I always like what you have to say. And I try to ask a lot of my guests, especially whether they're like you or they're boots on the ground, making decisions, living with this 24/7, how are you taking care of yourself mentally and physically and spiritually?
I actually love that we talk about this because I do think it's something in society that people just don't feel comfortable talking about. Or like, I kind of say often we ask each other, like, how are you? And the response we expect from people is, I'm fine, I'm good. And when you say like, I'm struggling, or I'm just not okay, or I'm not pulling it together. To be honest, this morning, I was just feeling like I don't really want to adult today, you know, and it's like, being able to be honest with how we're feeling or the struggles that we're carrying while we're still doing the work, I think is hard. And so I appreciate that you bring light to this. So it's mental health is something that's really interesting for me because I have struggled with finding the right resources for what I need for my own holistic health is sort of how I look at it. You know, not just my mental health, but my emotional, my spiritual, my mental, my physical, all of that, you know, really matters to us. So like the personal journey has been difficult. But because I feel like I do this legislative and official work to kind of heal the younger version of who I was, or, you know, the struggles I've seen the people I love go through, I also lean into the mental health work a lot on the official side, you know, serving as the vice chair of human services, sitting on the health committee, making sure that I advocate for 988 services. So we have suicide prevention hotlines. In my community out in Clay County, we're working on a psychiatric residential treatment facility so that kids in Minnesota aren't shipped out of state to states like Arkansas for supports for our kids or being housed in juvenile detention centers. And so the work is really ramping up in addressing mental health. And I think the reality of that is then my personal ability to take care of myself is reduced. And so I think you asking me is like an accountability check, and hopefully for our listeners too, that, you know, we have to find time to even pause for ourselves. I just had an interview with our local news today, and they were like, well, what advice do you have for people? And I say it every time, drink water.
Yeah.
It's like, hydration is the key.
You know, State Representative, I was thinking as you were talking, I try and bring that up to a lot of our boots on the ground things, but I believe it was from our original conversations years ago that I did put that in my questions with you and I, and you talking about how important that is for you and, you know, not just drinking water, but really taking care of your soul. And I want to say thank you. That's a big peeny geegee. I was just thinking about that as you were talking.
Yeah. So I think like a little bit of me wants to ask you that question back, because I think you know, are a stellar leader for the community. You share a lot of, you talk a lot about, you created this space to speak our truth. And sometimes when we speak our truth, you know, that's really hard. So as a friend, back to you, you know, what do you do to take care of your holistic and mental health?
Well, spiritually, I put out some tobacco and smudge off daily. I go for a walk. I attend a 12-step group once or twice a week. And I really try to be truthful with myself and people around me, which, you know, if you knew the younger self of me, that wasn't the case. So I really, you know, the first step in the 12-step program that I'm involved with is the spiritual principles, honesty. So if I could be honest with people around me and honest with myself, then I'm pretty spiritually fit, you know, and that I can look at myself in the mirror. And but physical stuff too, walking and being out and trying to do the barefoot thing on the grass, go out on our boat, you know, go to New York, you know, and hang out with my wife and our grandbabies every Wednesday and Thursday, and our dog, and try not to sweat the small stuff, because it's all small unless you're passing away or something. So I have to. And I, you know, one of the things too, I'm just going to end with this, is my mantra has been for many years, would I rather be right or would I rather be happy? And so that really helps out with a lot of things that I work with and deal with, because I loved and still can get into that justifiable anger. I love justifiable anger. So I got to put anger's anger, I've realized after all these years.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So what is that again?
Which
you
one?
Would rather.
Oh, would I rather be right or would I rather be happy?
Man, that's a good question. I think one of the pieces of advice my dad used to always give me that I feel like, you know, when he told me as a young kid, I was like, yeah, whatever, dad, like that doesn't, I don't understand, right? But now as an adult, there's things that really make sense. And it's just the simple understanding that the only person I can control is myself and the response that I have to a situation. You know, like we can be really mad at what other people did or what other people, you know, are continuing to do, but we only have so much energy in our life. And it really feels like, you know, not sweating the small stuff or really being engaged with how we can respond in the world. I also really try to lean into that, because my dad's words are just so real in that way. So wait, your grandbabies, did they just celebrate a birthday?
Yeah, they just became 1 year old, and it's been a beautiful experience. They're getting to start to walk. They're doing things that that I just I'm totally amazed at these little people. And speaking of people, my Hinu's jumping on here too with us here. She had to help out her sister with bringing the babies back, but I thought it was very important that she take care of business. And we only got a couple minutes here, but I love my daughters and I love my grandbabies, and my Hinu Jaleesa. How's it going?
Ikurugi.
Hey, we were just talking about our mental health and health and what we do to take care of ourselves. And I know your boots on the ground too. And maybe next segment you can jump in and talk about, because your work is really intensely working with other people too. And you have to protect your soul too. So we can have a really good conversation, State Representative.
Mm-hmm.
I think too, it's interesting that not only like healing for ourselves, but like I made a post the other day about this deep craving to invest in Indigenous sistership and sisterhood, and like, how do we build this space together that we know how to show up for each other? Because we just don't see a lot of us out in the world, whether it's showing up to watch the play, you know, and like going hard on all that and laughing at the Native comedy, you know, that's so real in our life, or supporting us as we make, you know, these legislative changes. And so it is about like not only showing up for ourselves, but then really leaning in and showing up, you know, for each other, because we're such community driven people. And so I think the more to this party and the better the conversation it gets.
Yes. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and here with State Representative, Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, and my Hinu, Jaleesa McKee. And we'll be right back after this short break. We're talking mental health and how that all adds up to your life. And Jaleesa, I think we're going to ask you how you take care of yourself in the next portion. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. Native culture is alive and thriving at the Minnesota State Fair. The Native Roots Trading Post is back at the West End Market, where you can support Indigenous artists and makers. And don't miss the Native Pride dancers performing on the summit stage at the bazaar August 31st and September 1st. From music and art to food and storytelling, Native culture is everywhere at the State Fair. Tickets are just $17 through August 20th at mnstatefair.org. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Right on. Hey, we are here with State Representative, Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, because we're all over the country here. We are on quite a few stations in Wisconsin. And up next, we're going to have Christy Goforth, who is just a doer herself. And I'm excited to have her on with her bike organization about giving free bikes out. But hey, Heather, let's ask Jaleesa the same question that you posed to me and I posed to yourself.
Yeah, I feel like it's an accountability check-in, right? With just making sure that, how do you take care of yourself, right? I feel like no matter what lane of life we're in, we're all like carrying different stresses. And I was saying earlier before you jumped on that in society, sometimes it's kind of looked down upon for us to just not be in a great mood or not be having a great day. And so we're just kind of sharing some tips and tricks and things that we do to protect our own mental health and just our holistic health in general.
Absolutely. I would say, so, I mean, it's really awesome that I get to do work in group therapy that absolutely reminds me on a daily basis of what to do even for myself, because, you know, we want to practice what we preach, right? So I remind my clients every day, there's a reason why we check in the morning. We all start a group session at 9 o'clock. We end at 12:45. And the way we typically, I mean, we usually do Wordle. So shout out to that for that little brain teaser, New York Times. A lot of people are on that these days, but then we go into how are we feeling? How are we feeling physically in this moment? How are we feeling mentally, spiritually, all of those things. And, you know, I remind my clients, we're not just doing this to fill time. We're doing this to create a pattern of when we start our day, check in with your emotional capacity, check in with your physical capacity. You know, our best, I do a lot of the four agreements, you know, teachings, and our best is going to vary day to day, right? Based on, did we sleep well? Do we have any fatigue? Do we have any health concerns? And then also, where are we at mentally? I was just talking to my friend the other day, shout out to Nina, but, you know, when we're each having a hard time as friendships or as family members, we're able to have emotional, you know, check in with our emotional capacity of how we can show up for one another. Some days I'll have more of that and be able to pour into others. Some days I'm going to need to lean on someone. So to know when we need to ask for help and ask for that emotional support. And then also to say, wow, I'm feeling really in my gratitude today. I'm feeling emotionally stable, and I have a lot to be able to pour into other people. So kind of knowing our own needs and then also knowing what capacity we have to give to others, I think is really just how the world goes around.
Wow. Heck, am I proud of my daughter? And she didn't learn any of that from me. I just want to tell you that.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
and a lot of
I think you're so right, though. It's so important to name your feeling, right? I think like often we grow up with like, am I mad? Am I sad? Am I happy? And there's just like so many other complex feelings that we have, and really being able to sit with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I agree, like just going through the checklist of like, what am I carrying? How have I taken care of myself? Like Maslow's laws, right? Like where are we? But naming it is so important, and setting the boundary. You know, sometimes setting boundaries with people that you love to protect yourself is just so hard to do, because I'm sort of a people pleaser. And so like, if I set a boundary and it offended you, I'm like, whoa, wait, maybe I could like change it a little bit. And the truth is like, we just need to live in a world that we speak our boundaries and then receive other people's boundaries too, when they have the courage to say them.
Yeah. And people think boundaries is such a huge topic. They think that boundaries are what, you know, creates a divide, when actually it's the opposite. Boundaries are what makes us clear on how to connect further. Because when we have boundaries, we know how to treat one another. How am I supposed to know, you know, this is my Jaji's boundary of doing this way? How can we connect more?
Don't mess with my potato chips.
Yeah, right. How can I show up and respect Jaji's potato chips and know that that is his thing? You know, if you take the last chip. No, but seriously, you can make those examples in those little tangible ways and then carry that throughout. But yeah, boundaries are really to connect us further, because then we know how to show up for one another.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I also want to say too, that, you know, my own self-care is really reliant on just really loving myself. And I tell my clients this all the time, and it's been such a journey for me in my 30s. You know, it wasn't as easy in my, you know, youth and then in my 20s, but that, the more we know ourselves, the more we can love ourselves. How do we love ourselves if we don't even know ourselves, right? So to do all these practices of really getting to know what are our tendencies, what's come up because of our past traumas, what triggers us, what do we want to work on in terms of like coping skills? So like, yeah, I always say like, yes, self-care, but also self-awareness. And then that way we're able to love ourselves.
That's so real. I think that's why, you know, Robert, you and I have talked about sobriety. You know, I feel like I'm new in that journey. You've been down that path, and, you know, you are really somebody that I look up to in that. And I think when you talk about knowing ourselves, like it's a whole different version of yourself when you walk through the pain and the rawness of life in sobriety. And so that's been really a big deal for me too. And it's interesting because when I work as the legislator, I get to talk to a lot of my constituents, and I actually learned so much from them. And it was one of my constituents who we worked deep in the weeds around ending homelessness. And he was walking his journey of sobriety. And he said to me that sobriety was the key to unlocking healthy mental health. And I was like, it's like that simple. You know, my self-worth is different now. I agree with you. My self-love, my self-acceptance, the ability to forgive the younger version of myself for things that happened to me.
Yes.
In sobriety has just been so different. And so I think that that is a really, not for everybody, but it's been a really good path for me.
Well, and I like to jump in too about sobriety. The journey is the reward. And that's, you know, if you know, you don't have to look at how far you have to go, look at how far you've come. And so that's always hard to do in life, because you're living, you know, sometimes second to second in situations and moment to moment. But, you know, if I would have predicted 40 years ago where I'd be today and being sober, I would have underestimated myself so much.
Right.
And the journey is the reward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I really try to say to myself, remember the time that you wanted what you have now. And to have that reflective moment of gratitude, right? Because yeah, 10 years ago, I didn't think I would be doing what I'm doing now. And like you said, Judge, and, you know, and then also to know too, that the desires of our heart are there to motivate us. They're not there to shame us or put us down. Oh, you know, comparison, those type of things. It's like, no, you know, utilize that. Like, okay, I have a desire to do, you know, work on my physical health or work on, you know, things like that. That's put on our heart for a reason, to drive us forward, not to shame us at where we're at.
I just want to say one thing too. When we were talking about boundaries, there's people in my life now that I choose not to be in my life because of my healthier boundaries. I don't try to fix people. I don't try to change their mind. I live in my own truth. And if that's not good enough, I move on, because there's other places where I need to focus, whether it's really directly with my grandkids, my daughters, my wife, especially my wife, you know, because that Wendy makes the world go around for me. Yeah.
We all know that too. I mean, like, just in case the rest of the world needs to know, we all know that Wendy makes your whole world go around.
Oh, yes. Shout out to Wendy.
Shout out to Wendy for sure. Yeah. Well, we got a minute left here before we get Christy, our friend Christy from, you know, from Wisconsin. We're on, you know, 20 other stations in Wisconsin. So it's always good to touch base with our relatives and our neighbors out there and talk a little bit about her bikes, but also talk a little politics. So, Heather, you got a minute here. What else would, how would you want to end this today? I feel like we're in a little mini session too.
I mean, honestly, I feel like that's been the theme of the conversations that we've had. I think we've shared some really good suggestions by just by like sharing our own personal journeys. And I think make space for that in your own life. Like, frontal lobe is real. Dehydration does make our emotional response different. So I think that drinking water in this time is really important. But really leaning into community and being intentional about doing that. I think isolation can create really hard times, and being intentional about finding people that you can connect with, as you find the courage to do that, I think is really important. So thanks for having me. Thanks for
I've been really wanting to do. Yes. Thank you, Pina Gigi. I've been really wanting to do a women's native meetup. So we should talk, Heather.
Yes, I'm down. Let's do it.
Well, and you know, too, this was really good too. So now I feel even more blessed that I can go on vacation, and Heather, you can be the co-host, and Jaleesa, and you would have a great conversation on whatever you want to talk about. So it's exciting.
Yay.
Yeah, we don't need you here, Robert. We got this.
Exactly. I do know that. I've listened to the show when you've been co-hosting, and I go, geez, she doesn't really need me, does she? But yeah, looking forward to that, Heather. State Representative, Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, thank you so much for coming on. And we'll probably see you in a couple of weeks, right?
Yep, every 2 weeks now, hopefully.
Right on. Awesome. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio. Christy Goforth is up next, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President Trump thanks Apple CEO Tim Cook for the company's commitment to invest $600 billion in the U.S. over the next 4 years, $100 billion more than Apple originally planned.
Companies like Apple, they they're coming home. They're all coming home. And we want them to come home. They have to come home. We're going to treat them really well.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff makes his fifth visit to Russia to sell a Ukraine ceasefire deal to President Putin. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinogrand.
Witkoff has also likely discussed the opportunities for Russia if it ends the war in Ukraine as it pertains to reopening U.S. investment in Russia and reinvigorating U.S. trade with Russia.
An Army sergeant opened fire at Fort Stewart in Georgia today, wounding five soldiers who are expected to recover. Brigadier General John Lubas says the suspect used his own handgun.
The shooting occurred at the soldier's place of work. It did involve his co-workers. We're still not certain about the motivations.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tulsa King is somehow still in the air and we'll get a season 3. Half kidding. It's a good guilty pleasure if sometimes you just need to watch good, bad TV and can still stomach Sylvester Stallone. The trailer for the new season is available now. In season 3, Stallone will look much different as he ran out of steroids. It's possible. It's not all bad, though. Samuel Jackson is part of the cast for the new season. Season 3 of Tulsa King drops September 21st on Paramount+. The practice of using loud noises to scare wolves away from cattle is not new. Practice of using an Oscar-nominated film to do so, however, is. It's called wolf hazing and oftentimes involves a loudspeaker that broadcasts gunshots or fireworks. According to the New York Post, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, to help protect cattle and keep predatory wolves away, is now using scenes from the film Marriage Story that involves shouting and arguing, which reminds me, I need to call my wife. What they should really do is show Rob Schneider movies, which will just put both species to sleep. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, maybe a storm late, and lows in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, few showers and storms, heating up, highs up into the mid-80s. Hot and humid Friday, mostly sunny, highs within a few degrees of 90. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Luann Bird will talk about Congressman Brian Stiles' recent town hall and calling him out for supporting Trump's big cuts to health care.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Christy Goforth, Executive Director of Bikes for Kids, on. It's great to see you again. Kind of got a little echo. Is that you by any chance?
An echo? Is there an echo?
No, no, it isn't. But it was funny that you said, "Is there?" It's funny you said, "Is there an echo? Is there an echo?" twice, and that was kind of like an echo.
echo.
Exactly.
I had my panic moment there, like, what would I even do to solve that? I don't know.
Well, hey, great to see you. Lot going on, but that's, I know there was a new article about riding bikes, but before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about Bikes for Kids. And so people that are just listening in for the first time with you on know about your organization.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. And Jaleesa, is it Jaleesa?
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful to meet you. I've not met you before. So thanks again for having me.
Yes. That's my daughter. So nepotism's running rampant here on Native Roots Radio.
Well, I can see the resemblance, and I really enjoyed that last conversation, and it was great. So thank you for that. You get some great advice.
Thank you. Yeah, so great to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. So I run Bikes for Wisconsin. We're the largest bike center in the state. And we're creating access to bicycles for people who really have never had the opportunity or who can really struggle with the price of bicycles. Bicycles are expensive. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of people who've been left behind by the cycling industry. It's been very exclusive for a long time. And so we're working to really kind of right that ship and make sure that everyone has an opportunity to own a bicycle. Because not only is it fun, riding a bike can be very fun, but it's transportation, it's mobility, it's access to opportunities, it's low cost, and it's good for us, not only physically, but mentally.
Yeah, and what areas do you serve? Because I know these answers, so let our audience know.
Yeah, well, we're based here in Madison, Wisconsin. But we primarily we're serving Dane County, which Dane County is really a pretty economically resilient place because we're the state capital and we have a lot of government entities. We have the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So we really branched out a couple years ago to serve more of the kind of persistent poverty pockets in the state. And so that would be like Milwaukee, Racine, Rusk County, which is the poorest county in the state. Where I'm excited, we've really partnered with the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. So definitely are hitting our red brothers and sisters north. And so we actually are serving 10 counties pretty regularly. We're getting into the season where organizations apply for bicycles. So it's not easy. Working in transportation equity is complicated. And, you know, if you think about, like, imagine you were giving away cars, right? Like, complicated process. And bikes are even more so because they have to be sized to their riders. And so the way we operate is we have other 501c3 nonprofits who are serving financially challenged individuals and public schools who apply for bicycles. So I often say we don't give bikes to individuals. We give them to organizations because we're giving away about 2,000 to 2,500 bikes a year. And I don't want to be responsible for vetting each of those individuals. That would be insurmountable. But these organizations, so like the social workers at the schools, they know the people most in need and the kids maybe that are being truant because they don't have a way to get to school. There's not busing. Their parents might already be at work. Their parents might not have cars. And so they select our recipients and register them for us. So we've given away 13,900 bicycles now. So if you try to think of it's staggering because if you think of 100 people on bicycles, it looks like an ocean, right? And to even pick 13,900, it's not even really, it's almost like when you look at the Grand Canyon, you can't process it. You can't take it in. You're kind of like, wow, but you can't even fathom the depth of that.
Well, Christy, being a Native person, and I know over the years you've reached out to tribes, and you mentioned a little bit of, about that in the beginning. What kind of focus do you have on our relatives?
Well, you know, it started with me popping in over at Lac du Flambeau in up north Wisconsin. And I actually was going to the Ojibwe market, which I love the Ojibwe market there. And I was driving through and I just noticed no bicycles. I saw one guy on a bike. And it, honestly, it was kind of a junker. And I was like, oh, and I saw kids sitting on the curbs, like, you know, just throwing rocks, nothing to do. This was summer. And so I went over to the office and I had my Bikes for Kids shirt on. And I said, you know, this lovely woman comes out and she's like, can I help you? Because I was just looking for like a business card. I was going to reach out. I didn't want to bother anyone. And I'm a people pleaser. So she says, I tell her what I'm doing. And I'm like, I have a feeling you need some bikes up here. And she's like, we would love some bikes. And so we've really had a pretty consistent relationship with them. And that's what started. And she connected us to the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. And we have a bike bus. And so this summer we took a load up to Lac du Flambeau and gave them bikes. But just, it's just such a good thing for people. Getting out on your bikes, like for me, the stress relief of it, I feel the wind in my hair and it's like the stress is flying off my shoulders. I'm doing kind of a moving meditation and I think about that. I'm intentional
wind
about
therapy.
Yes. And I'm like, I'm letting it go. And, you know, I sometimes think about putting it in the river and letting it flow past, but this is my wind therapy. And, you know, so, we're going to keep working at it. It's not easy work and it, because of our system, we require someone to register these folks. And that means they have to know the height of every individual and a gender preference. Because when we're dealing with tiny kids, we've got princess bikes, we've got Darth Vader bikes, we've got, you know, Stormtrooper bikes and, you know, so, but we do give bikes to all people because bikes are transportation and transportation is a key determinant in health. And it's really how we kind of can economically empower ourselves. It's one of our ways.
Christy, how can people support? Well, we should have had Christy on the first segment with State Representative Heather Keeler talking about wind therapy, but how do people support you and get to find out more about you? Because I enjoy your TikToks. It's like, oh my God, there's a million bikes in that they're working on.
I talk about like we have the Indian Ocean of bikes, we have the Atlantic Ocean, and we have the Pacific. Bikes for Kids, WI.org is our website. So there's a plethora of information there. Our YouTube channel is really active and we do a Giving Tuesday telethon, which is live streamed on YouTube from the bike shop. And I'll sometimes give you a peek of the thousands of bikes sitting behind me that need to be worked on and all tuned up. And it's thousands of hours of work there. But our socials are pretty active as well.
That's awesome. Before I have my Hinu ask you a question, I wanted to bring up there's been a report recently about riding your bike. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. The Atlantic published an article with data that was recently released from the National Sporting Goods Association that talks about in the 1990s, 20.5 million children biked to school. And in 2023, that reduced to 10 million. And so this is a big conversation that's happening in the bike community. It's also happening in the urban planning community because the obvious focus is infrastructure and like, you know, streets without bike lanes or dedicated bike paths, which are wonderful because not everyone's comfortable riding on a street where someone's going maybe 40 miles an hour, inches from you. We do have a state law, I have to mention it. You have to be 3 feet from a bicyclist if you're in a car, and it's on the driver. Like if that bicyclist has to weave around a manhole cover, it is on the driver to maintain that 3-foot distance. So that's really important, and it's a good safety measure. I would like to see that at 4 feet, because 3 feet's not very much, and especially when you're riding children.
Right.
But, so I'm seeing a lot of conversations happening, and it's great to talk about infrastructure. But what's not being talked about is the social pieces of these challenges. And so that's what we deal with every day. And another staggering statistic for you is in 2024, 41% of our bike recipients were first generation bike owners.
What?
So this is no one in their immediate family has had a bicycle. So if you've never had a bicycle, no one in your family has had a bicycle. So as a child, a parent or a caregiver might be able to teach you how to ride, because it really just requires holding on and running along until you get your balance. But what's not going to happen is you're not going to be going on a ride with that child. You're not going to be teaching them how the transportation network works, the rules of the road, or where to find these kind of these networks. It's the nurture piece that's saying. And I was talking with a woman from the DNR, and she's like, we can only do much. We can only build these paths and these trails, but we rely on your organization to do all the rest of it. Give away the key resource, which is the bicycle. So creating access to free bicycles. We believe if government was smart, they would just give everyone a bicycle. It would relieve so much pressure on parking and congestion, and the health and wellness factor would be amazing. And, you know, we could all enjoy our streets so much more, because, you know, it's a safety in numbers game in a way. But so right now, my 12-year-old son and I, we are regularly riding down to downtown Madison, because I'm teaching him how to navigate our downtown, which we have State Street, which is a pedestrian mall, which has its own challenges. Pedestrians walking in front of you, and they don't think about a bicycle coming down there. And so, you know, being polite and ringing your bell, and there's also ringing your bell aggressively and not aggressively. But really just teaching him the rules of the road and showing him the access to these networks. And so that's one of the things that's really interesting is you have to have an adult or an older sibling to be nurturing you, because just riding on your street over and over gets boring really quick for a kid, because there's a lot of competing interests for their entertainment. And it's kind of an interesting thing to think about.
Chrissy, can you hold on for another segment, and maybe we can talk a little bit about our mental health still? I really enjoyed what you had to say, and what's going on politically. I know I enjoy what you have to say on our social media, and maybe we can touch on that. We're here with Chrissy Goforth, Executive Director of Bikes for Kids Wisconsin, and Jaleesa McKee, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. Native culture is alive and thriving at the Minnesota State Fair. The Native Roots Trading Post is back at the West End Market, where you can support Indigenous artists and makers. And don't miss the Native Pride dancers performing on the summit stage at the bazaar August 31st and September 1st. From music and art to food and storytelling, Native culture is everywhere at the State Fair. Tickets are just $17 through August 20th at mnstatefair.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by, or we'd like to bring awareness to, our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh.
Oh.
We always want to talk about our Wisconsin Wolves, too, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
All the Wolves.
Hey, good. Hey, we're here with Christy Goforth, Executive Director of Bikes for Kids. And I always say this when you're on, is that I love Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm old enough to remember when cars drove on State Street. So yeah. That was a long time ago.
There's a supporter of ours, and she was like the first woman bicyclist in Madison. And the cops used to stop her if she rode her bicycle on State Street. And she was a journalist, and she had to get her rolls of film to the post office very quickly so they could be developed. And so they made an agreement, and they let her ride on the sidewalk. Like, wow. That is backwards.
Wow. Yeah. Back in the day.
We've made a lot of progress, but there's a lot of progress to go, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit, with things going on politically here, it's so hard to keep your head above water in a lot of things. And I know you feel hard, Jalise feels hard, mm-hmm. Wendy, my wife, feels hard, I do. Mm-hmm. So we can maybe go back into what we were talking about the first two segments. Christy, what do you do to take care of your health and, you know, your spiritual and physical and emotional needs?
Yeah, for me, you know, it's definitely being in nature. And I've done a lot of bike riding. I think I'm at about 500 miles this summer right now. So
wow.
And in the bike community, I just talked to a guy who was 75 years old. I ran into him on the bike trail. Not literally ran into him. He ended up stopping and having a break at the same spot. And he told me he does 4,000 miles a year. I was like, wow, okay, you're way ahead of me. So, the biking is great. I love hiking and just, you know, finding water. I just got up to the Big Water. I was just up in Ackland and up at Bad River. Wow. Yeah, it was wonderful. And so that's really big for me. And I'm about to have my 54th trip around the sun here in just a few weeks. And I always find that's a time really to do some introspection and try to, you know, do some personal growth. And one of the things I realized in my life this summer is that I didn't realize there was a term for it, but I was a parentified child. Have you heard about that? Where the child is the parent.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like the effect that's had on me as an adult.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom has some mental health challenges and became homeless this summer and just dealing with that. And she moved in with me and there were just, it was really, you know, a lot of opportunity for growth. We'll put it at that. But, you know, yeah. So realizing parentified children often can't relax. We're always the boss. We always have to take the reins. We always have to take the lead. And, you know, that gets annoying for other people. And, you know, and so, yeah, so I'm taking a class on that right now and really just trying to find the time that I can to focus on myself and do some work on that. You know?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Having the knowledge and the, you know, the awareness of it and a label. Actually, that's a time when a label really is helpful for me.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's really interesting. What you just said there at the end, that a label is very helpful for me.
Yeah, to name it, right? And to recognize how do I say this? Just like the family roles that really deeply affect us, right?
Yeah.
And our childhood wounds stick with us and stay with us. If you're doing those things now, even as an adult, parenting your own parent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And having that label then opens a new world for you when you're on the Google and you're starting to research it right now. Now you know you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Name for it, and now it's just, you know, the rabbit holes are everywhere, and I can really start kind of finding some classes or finding spaces where I can talk with others about that.
Well, and I think too, just talking about it, you mentioned it now, really helps not only you owning it, but also of yes. partially who you are, and mm-hmm. You can forgive yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, the recognition and just the acknowledgement, mm-hmm. the owning it is big, and just really just learning about the effects of that on my life. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what one of our listeners put up there? She said, I would love to know more about that. Had the same relationship yes. with her mom.
By sharing it, you're helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is one of the traits that comes of it, is you always having to help others. And mm-hmm. look at the role I'm in right now, right? Yeah. But I am helping people who were like me as a child. I would have been a Bikes for Kids recipient. I was raised by a single mom. We never rose above the poverty level. She always worked three jobs. And I had to take on a lot of responsibility. But yeah, look that up. Google that. What was her name?
Danita.
Danita. Look that up, Danita. I'm doing a class with Daily Ohm, and it's a parentified parents or parentified children. And it's kind of, you do these classes on an as needed basis. And I actually love the payment fee is pay what you can. So it's very accessible. 9 classes, I believe, and a lot of journaling in it, meditation, and I bring in some of my own my own cultural practices into that to make it right for me.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And Danita said, I will. Thank you. And that's one of the things that we love doing here at Native Roots Radio is we were talking during the break, Mahinu and I, Jaleesa, and we were just saying we learn so much on this show, too. What's going on in community, but also just what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You get exposed to all these different things. It's going to be quite amazing and wonderful. And how do you remember it all, right?
That's how do I remember that all. So how is your organization, if so, being affected by what's happening federally?
We are in this very interesting space. We've never received federal funding. We did come close once. I applied for a transportation grant under Pete Buttigieg, and we came very close. He sent thank you notes to all of the people who wrote support letters, and I thought we were going to get it. It was a minimum of $5 million ask, and we were going to build our forever home. We're in a temporary workspace that's planned to be torn down. So our future is, I feel like I'm on the lake on, when it's all ice chunks and you're just kind of trying to balance and hope you can maintain. So that's our big challenge for our future. But we had to find our own way. We had to make our own way. We've never really received any government funding. And we're in this very unusual space as a nonprofit where we have a valuable product. So as of last year, we decided to start selling used bicycles at a very low cost, but it has really helped us to have that revenue stream.
Hey, Christy, can you, we got like 10 seconds left. Can you give your website and how people can find out more information about Bikes for Kids in Wisconsin?
Yes, absolutely. Look us up at bikesforkidswi.org and always on our YouTube, our Facebook, our Instagram. Those are pretty popular. But we'd love to hear from you and subscribe to our newsletter. If you scroll to the bottom of any page on our website, you can enter your newsletter or your email address. We won't spam you, I promise.
Hey, thank you so much for being on, and we got
to
make this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An active duty sergeant is in custody after authorities say he opened fire at Fort Stewart in Georgia. CBS's Skylar Henry is there.
Investigators say the suspected shooter was able to bring his personal weapon through a heavily secured gate here at Fort Stewart, where he shot and wounded five of his fellow soldiers.
They are expected to recover. United Airlines confirms it's experiencing system issues causing ground stops in places including Chicago, Denver, and Houston. There are hundreds of delays and counting. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff has met with Russian President Putin to discuss ending the Ukraine war. And now President Trump says he might meet with Putin and Zelensky.
There's a good chance that there will be a meeting very soon.
50% U.S. tariffs on goods from Brazil, including